I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And today's program is the second of this week's features on the Allerton Music Barn Festival, to be held at Allerton Park in Monticello. And the opening night concert on Thursday, the festival runs Thursday through Monday, is going to feature baritone Nathan Gunn and pianist Julie Gunn and a lot of friends and colleagues on a cabaret night program that starts at, I think, 8 o'clock at the Allerton Barn Festival. And we're going to spend the hour today with Nathan Gunn and some of his recordings that have influenced him in his singing, or at least in his interpretations, or whatever else he wants, however else he wants to characterize those recordings. And of course, we'll hear Nathan himself, for example, right now.
Just before the sunrise, there's a moment in time when the quiet you feel of you.
Nathan Gunn, in the title track from his disc called Just Before Sunrise, and a number of colleagues are on with him in this particular recording. It's a wonderful disc of, I guess you'd call them, sort of cabaret songs, or at least songs from lots of different areas of the musical world, and I think is the sort of thing, some of the sort of thing that he's going to be singing on Thursday evening at the Allerton Music Barn at Allerton Park in Monticello. I said earlier that starts at 8, actually starts at 8:30. Cabaret night with Nathan and Julie Gunn and a lot of other performers as well, just as there's a number of performers on this particular recording. And the composer, Gene Shear, who I know is a friend and favorite of yours, Nathan. Thanks for coming in on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to be here.
Tell us about, write the music and the song and the lyrics?
He did. He wrote the lyrics and the song. You know, he's pretty eclectic. He, right now, at least in the classical world, he is mostly known for his librettos. And the most recent one, if those of you who like opera out there, he wrote the libretto to Moby Dick, which was debuted in Dallas recently, with Ben Heppner singing, you know, Captain Ahab. Got amazing reviews. It's going to go everywhere. This thing's going to be a classic. It's terrific. And but you know, he's a songwriter too, and he had written this song a number of years ago, and we kind of I'd always wanted to find a venue for it, and it seemed like the recording was the best place to do it. That and sort of a cabaret setting, and so we've made a different arrangement of that song, slightly different, that we're going to do on Thursday night too, if you know, weather permitting. The last time actually Julie and I performed this song, it was at a benefit in a tent. It was a party for patrons of this particular festival, and it was a beautiful day. And then right when we started singing this lovely song about before sunrise and the quiet and the beauty of nature and how it reminds you of the person you love, this huge thunderstorm happened, about blew the tent over. So we're out there singing this just before the sunrise, and you hear this. It was ridiculous. So hopefully that won't happen. Maybe Mother Nature will be a little bit kinder to us.
Well, let's see. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms.
Great. Well, make a more upbeat version of it.
But at least you won't be in a tent.
I know. Right. Well, does this barn, is it waterproof? We'll see.
It should be waterproof, but it is a wooden roof, so...
Yeah.
You know, no guarantee, and you're on the upper level.
Yeah.
So, well, just cross the fingers there. That's so right. You are doing this tune.
Yeah, I'm going to do this tune. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you better do it. If it looks good early, sing it early, or something. But so
yeah,
the show on Thursday has a lot of the songs that are on this disc.
Well,
or are you
some of
do
them.
A lot not, of the other not, things too.
We do a variety of things. The thing about cabaret. So, the cabaret tradition is that it really is it's meant for a small audience, but it's not meant for like the same kind of audience that would go to a Liederabend. You know, Liederabends were originally in people's homes, and they've gradually evolved into recitals, you know, in bigger halls. A cabaret set is something that, you know, it's the kind of music you'd sing in a bar, really, and a little bit on the lighter side while still being, while still having, if you really want to pay attention and listen, a high amount of musical quality. And in a sense, the disc, the Just Before Sunrise disc that we did with Sony was supposed to be like that. And I modeled it, in fact, not by choice of songs specifically, but by quality of songs and quality of recording. I modeled it after this disc by Tony Bennett and Bill Evans that I love. That's the kind of thing you can kind of listen to passively. But if you choose to sit down and really listen to it, you realize that there's a lot of amazing detail that went into that recording. And so that was the that was what we were shooting for with the Sony CD. And in fact, with this cabaret event.
Well, and I actually gave you an assignment before coming in today, which was to choose some recordings that, not by you,
right,
that maybe influenced you in one way or another. And that's one that you brought.
That's one I brought, yeah.
And what's the first song we're going to hear?
I can't remember the name of it. we skipped around. They're all good, though.
Well, this is the one where you said, oh, yeah, we got to play this one.
Yeah, that was on one note, so hopefully I'm right about it. But they're all great. I mean, I could listen to this recording forever. It's fantastic.
When did Tony Bennett make this, more or less? Do you know?
I have no idea. It was a long. I mean, it came out on an LP first. That was when I first heard it.
Because I'm amazed at how good he sounds now, but then when I've heard some of his more vintage recording, I'm even more amazed. Yeah. At how good he sounded then.
Yeah, there's I didn't bring it in because I figured, you know, Tony Bennett, he can only, you know, I got to add a little variety, but there's a great follow-up disc that he did with Bill Evans and Katie Lang. And Katie Lang, any of you who have been to her concerts over at Cranert, is a fantastic singer. Just beautiful. And those two together, they put together this amazing compilation of songs too.
I missed when they were here, but I've got some recordings of hers, and she's
quite a beautiful voice, huh?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And her recordings each recording has its own genre.
Right.
At least the ones that I've heard.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And she seems to do them all terrifically well. Now, that seems like such an odd couple there.
Doesn't it?
So to speak.
Yeah, but it works.
Yeah, Katie Lang. But in this case, it's Tony Bennett with great pianist and arranger Bill Evans. Here on Live and Local.
You're nearer than my head is to my pillow, nearer than the wind is to the for I love you so.
Tony Bennett and Bill Evans, that really is wonderful.
Oh, it's a great CD. I love it. It probably is the most listened to recording for me over the past, well, since I heard it probably over the past 10 years. I just love it. It's, you know, it's one of those CDs that's such high quality that you hear something a little bit different in there every time you listen to it. It's great. And it does, like you had mentioned that it was an odd coupling having Katie Lang and Tony Bennett do a disc, even though it really works. And you couldn't help but remind me of some of the reactions I get when I tell people that I do some, I have on this particular, you know, disc of mine that I have a song by Sting, who I must say I know pretty well by now. Just throwing that out there.
All right,
my buddy Sting. And
he might be saying the same thing, you know, to other people, you know, buddy Nathan.
Well, that's the thing. He appreciates what I can do and he can't. And I appreciate what he can do, which is be like this international rock star that I can't do. And he's a singer too, which is probably part of it. But, Tom Waits, you know, whenever I say, well, I'm going to do a couple of songs by Tom Waits, anybody who knows Tom Waits' music, they're always like, are you serious? Because the way he sings is so, if you've never heard him before,
nothing like your voice.
No, nothing like my, well, maybe my voice after I've smoked a box of cigars and had a bottle of vodka, but, you know, that's, but regardless of that, his songs are just fantastic. And, but luckily, for all of you listening out there, I didn't bring a recording of Tom Waits, so you don't need to go experience that. This morning.
We might hear Nathan a little later do some Tom Waits. You're going to do a song or two of his on Thursday.
That's right. I'll do a couple of his songs on Thursday. And they're, you'd be surprised. They are beautiful tunes. And he writes them, which is wonderful. You know, that's another reason I like him so much is he's really, he writes all this music with his wife, Kathleen Brennan. Hmm. And being a person who performs and arranges these recitals and works very closely with his wife musically as well. I can kind of see where he's coming from, you know, most of the time.
It occurs to me, Nathan, that we started this show without my actually having introduced you to the listeners.
Oh, well, feel free.
In the event that there are actually people who don't yet know who Nathan Gunn is, and
oh,
I'm
come now.
Sure that there are. Just a few more, maybe, who don't know whose thing is. Nathan Gunn is, I actually, in talking to my intern, Jason Hayes, for the show, I said he's one of the hottest singers in the opera world right now, in both senses of the word, in that, you know, you're absolutely beyond up and coming at this point. You have come, you have arrived. But also, you're the guy that they always want to have, you know, have your shirt off in operas and
play the Greek guy,
and you know, you're part of this wave of singers currently who, actually, I think it's fair to say, look the part better than a lot of the old school ones, yeah. You know, who are sort of typically old and fat and, you know, can't move and can't act.
Yeah, there was a certain period of time, I think, that's captured the imagination or the definition of the word opera, where, you know, people started, you know, it wasn't the time when you would travel by ocean liner to where you were going. It was once you started to travel by jet, these singers, and they would be booked more than they ever were before, and, you know, and you're stuck in a hotel and pre-gym and they're nervous and, you know what I mean, and it kind of turned into a stand and sing, and it's all about the sound and not about, you know, acting or how you look. Well, that, you know, that went to the extreme, and it's come back. You know, it's come back to the way I think it originally was, except that with even a greater emphasis on the ability to act and at least suspend disbelief a little bit by looking the part, especially with these, you know, with the way things are being broadcast more now. And the truth is, you just have a much larger pool of talent out there to choose from, so you can find somebody who can sing it and act it and looks like it. It used to be everybody came from, you know, Italy or Germany, you know, a few from here, a few other Eastern Bloc countries every once in a while. But now you've got all of the East opened up, and tons of great, you know, Chinese and Korean singers coming out, and Japanese singers, and, you know, Russians. And I mean, I could go on and on. It's just you can really find great talent out there.
And a lot of good Americans.
A lot of good Americans. And not only that, I think the way we school them, and of course I'm interested in that being a professor at the University of Illinois now, the way we school them by giving them sometimes, I think this is the best way to do it, a 5-year undergraduate education, and then moving them into an apprentice program. That is, an apprentice program is something where they, you know, obviously you go to a usually an A or B opera house, and they teach you about opera. That format, where you can see the best in the world coming to perform there, and then be taught by them and get master classes from them, be coached by the best coaches and conducted by the best conductors, produces some great, great artists. And the Americans are, you know, they have a good system going. We got a lot of good singers, real terrific professionals.
And you went through the MET program yourself.
I did.
The apprentice program.
I was a 5-year undergraduate student here, and then was grabbed up by the MET. They're always looking for the talent. It's funny when people say, "How do you get how do you get through the door?" And I say, "You just, if you're good and you present yourself wherever it is, people are listening and they talk like crazy, so they will find you." That's good or bad, I don't know, but they will find you.
And you have been found, and you're obviously holding up just fine.
Yeah, I'm loving it. And, you know, it's part of this this next singer, I brought along a man named John Charles Thomas. You know, it's another not too surprising reaction, because, Kevin, you hadn't heard of him before, and he was, in his time, the most famous American singer ever.
What was his time?
He sang... He was really in the height of his career, I would say 1915 through 1935, something like that. And he, you know, like that Malotz, Our Father, that's done in, you know, churches and weddings all over the place, was written for him. Home on the Range was written for him. I mean, you could go on and on. He sang on Johnny Carson, or that show. I can't tell you how many times.
That was long before Johnny Carson.
Yeah, it was long before Johnny Carson. Whoever the guy was before that. He was, you know, by the end of his career, he would still travel around the country and do 70 recitals. The man was paid in the 1920s, you know, $2,500 to give a recital. That's like $250,000. And he lived like a king and traveled and sang and just had this joie de vivre. And the reason why I like him is because he started off in vaudeville. He was educated classically in Baltimore, and then, you know, son of a preacher, sang in church, and then sang vaudeville and sang modern music, meaning songs that were written for him. He also would turn around and sing, you know, he could turn around and sing Home on the Range and then go somewhere else to the Met and sing Germont and Traviata. It was an amazing, amazing career and voice.
And this is the sort of mix of things that you're trying to
right.
put together in your
yeah.
career.
Well, I kind of feel like good music is good music, and I like all kinds. And as long as it's, you know, the one place I can't go is, you know, there's of course the a rock and roll type tradition where you get sort of rock opera or rock-based musical theater, and that's a kind of singing that I just don't do. That's a little bit more pedestrian sounding. They kind of go for sounding like anybody off the street, and I just don't sound like that. So, and it's not sustained and all that sort of stuff. So, it has to be a specific kind of good. But yeah, it works well these days, too, because there's a lot more confidence in the American musical world that our music is good. So some of the pre-microphone American musical theater traditions are being picked up by orchestras, you know, for programming across the country, as well as operas companies. And since I grew up listening to it, and I can sing in English really well, and you know, they enjoy it. I somehow fit right into it, and it's nice for me to be able to create in my mind, to let people know on the musical theater side that we in the opera side and the classical musical side, you know, aren't that different from you all. You know, you should maybe, I'll go do, you know, Camelot for you, but why don't you come over and listen to Winterreise when I do that in this hall? Because, yes, it's in a different language. It's a slightly different style based on, you know, when it was written, but it's still really good. And it describes those same, you know, human experiences that we talk about in everything from, you know, from the first opera, you know, the coronation of Poppea to, you know,
Great Gatsby.
Well, Great Gatsby, or even, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. I mean, there's the same human experience being described in a different way. And I'm just trying to let them realize that, I guess. But this guy, John Charles Thomas, is, you know, a hero. The man had amazing vocal technique to be able to sing as long as he did and as much as he did. And his was really devoted to singing in English, his language, and new pieces. And like I said, he sang popular songs. He would do vaudeville, was willing and able and happy to make fun of himself in shows, and still at the same time turn around and put on the, you know, the slightly more serious hat and end up on the opera stage and give us a great rendition of, you know, whatever. Iago
What are we going to hear?
This is a song called Journey's End.
And do you know if this is from the end or middle or beginning of his career?
I have no idea. Probably somewhere in the middle.
It's as good as guess, isn't it? John Charles Thomas.
John Charles Thomas.
On Live and Local. John Charles Thomas. I was just saying to Nathan as we were listening to that that I often wondered when they talk about some great older singers from days gone long by, how you can tell that they're great from the scratchy recordings that they did. But that sounds like an astounding voice.
Yeah, he was great. He's just amazing. Yeah, great singer, great technique. And also the thing I love about him is that he was unapologetic. He just got up there and went for it. And so much about singing has to do with taking that leap of faith and putting it out there. Not everybody liked him. I mean, obviously, I can't have that. But you knew who he was, you know? No
well,
mystery.
And it sounded just even from listening to him sing and, you know, those little spoken bits in there that he sounded like he could probably act, too.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, he did it all.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. My guest is Nathan Gunn, who is going to be singing on a cabaret night at the Allerton Barn Festival, Music Festival, this Thursday. Thursday opens the festival. It'll run through next Monday. And on Thursday, it starts at 8:30. Nathan will be joined by his wife, pianist Julie Gunn, and quite a number of other U of I School of Music faculty and other performers.
Dana Hall will be playing the percussion, playing the drums, and Larry Gray is going to be playing bass, and Chip McNeil will be on saxophone.
So these are all three are on faculty here, but also some great Larry and Dana are both very active in the Chicago scene.
They are, yeah, and you know, it's one of these. It's a tough time of year to get everybody together to be able to rehearse the things we want to rehearse. And part of the feeling of a cabaret set is that, you know, you sometimes might just switch what you want to do. I didn't put a program out there. Julie, the pianist, my wife, we came up with a concept and a little bit how we want to put it together, and she made some, which makes it faster. She's great at making arrangements, so she made lead sheets and arrangements for the band, and in order to put it all together pretty quickly, and that's been helpful. And they're such great musicians; it's not a problem. You know, yeah. It's one of those things where you talk the language of music, it comes together pretty quickly.
You could probably just start singing and those guys would just, oh yeah, okay.
Well, that's a lot of it. Sure. I mean, we can talk back and forth about what we want to do and give each other, you know, the music and the lead sheets, but until they actually hear the song and get the feel of what's happening and talk a little bit like, yeah, this here has got to have, you know, that kind of a bump and grind feeling to it, then they know where you're coming from and you can create something on your own. And yeah, we're ready to go. It's excited about it.
I should mention that two things. First of all, programs on FM 90.9 are made possible today by Alto Vineyards, offering a retail wine shop and tasting room, custom gift baskets, gourmet food, and local artwork 1 mile north of Illinois 150/Bloomington Road on North Duncan Road. More information is available at 356-4784. And we have support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. And also, all this week, we'll be giving away tickets to the various concerts at the Allerton Music Barn Festival. The one that I can't give you any tickets for is Nathan's concert because it's sold out. I've got nothing to give, I'm sorry. However, I don't think we'll be seeing Ian Hobson on the show this week, but I do have some tickets to give away to his recital. He's going to be doing all of Iberia, the piano cycle of Isaac Albéniz, on Sunday evening, September the 5th. That starts at 8:30. So you do need to be able to go to this, and I will, as soon as you hear the music we're about to play, is when you can start calling. Don't start calling until you hear the music, because I can't answer the phone. And I'll give the first pair to, one pair each to the first two callers, and we'll only have a couple of minutes. So if I don't pick up the phone, it's because I've given them away. I will give the phone number in just a moment. We're going to hear Nathan next from his Just Before Sunrise CD with a special guest.
Yeah, Kristen Chenoweth. For those of you who don't know Kristen, she, when we recorded this together, I described her to a friend of mine in town, and I said, you know, it's just like, she's just like sunshine coming into the room. She's such a positive spirit. And a good Midwestern girl, she ended up, I think, kind of making a name for herself when she did Glenda the Good Witch in Wicked. You know, that was really popular back then. And then she's been on TV, you know, with Pushing Daisies, I think was one of her shows, and something else. Anyway, she's a doll. And this song is, It Feels Like Home by John Buchino. John Buchino writes mostly musical theater things. And I liked the song when I first saw it, and I thought, you know, this isn't really what he's going for. It was never meant to be a duet, but I needed to turn it into something that I had experienced in life. And so what we did was we decided to come up with a duet version of this song that was more upbeat and kind of described what it's like when you're just out of college and you're, you know, a couple and you decide to move to the city and you really don't have anything. You know, you can barely afford the apartment and you don't have a bed frame, but it's exciting and you're there together, and being together is the thing that's going to make it all work. And that's what this song is about with Kristen.
It Feels Like Home, Nathan Gunn and Kristen Chenoweth. If you want a pair of tickets to hear Ian Hobson Sunday night in Allerton, call me at area 217-244-2628. That's 244-2628. The first two callers gets a pair of tickets each. Nathan Gunn with Kristen Chenoweth, a song called It Feels Like Home from his Just Before Sunrise CD, which also has some wonderful mix of songs by people like Tom Waits, Billy Joel, Sting, and texts by W.H. Auden, James Joyce, and others. And you can hear some of those songs and a lot of other songs at the Cabaret Night Thursday evening at 8:30 with Nathan and Julie Gunn and Chip McNeil, Dana Hall, and Larry Gray.
Larry Gray, that's right.
And unfortunately, you know, if you haven't bought the tickets, I guess you can't hear him, because that one is sold out. And I will give away, I'll have another pair of tickets to give away to Ian Hobson's recital Sunday evening. I just gave away one pair, so I can still take a caller in a little bit. I guess we'll do it during the next song. Coming up at a minute past 1 o'clock, we'll be having the Writer's Almanac, as always, with Garrison Keillor, and come back to classical music starting at 6 minutes after. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and my guest is Nathan Gunn, opera star and cabaret singer and sometime Broadway concert singer.
Yeah.
Although, you know, people, I'm sure, are trying to get you on the Broadway.
Yeah, they really are.
And when's it going to happen?
I have such fun with these guys. You know, it's one of those things where the worlds just can't cooperate. You know, the Broadway world and the opera world and the classical world, our schedules are so different, and I plan so far in advance. The best I can do usually is certain specials. Like, there'll be a Stephen Sondheim turned 80 this year, and so there was a special event we did at Lincoln Center for him at Avery Fisher Hall, and everybody came everybody was there who loves Stephen Sondheim, actors and Broadway stars. And as a matter of fact, you know, I'm putting together this show with Mandy Patinkin, and that's how Mandy and I met. because he and I have a very similar point of view. We often choose our music based on the words and the story it tells. Anyway, so it's events like that where I get to work with these people. Audra McDonald, I've had the chance to record with her, you know, Allegro, this Rodgers and Hammerstein musical that it's not done very often. But
yeah, I read about that. I hadn't heard of it.
Well, it was a little ahead of its time, and I think it just didn't catch on, but the music is beautiful. And we, on this event, got to sing together again. We've been trying to find times to do shows together.
She's a wonderful singer.
Oh, she's awesome. She's great. There are some composers like Ricky Ian Gordon or Adam Gettle, who is Roger's grandson, who write some of the music that kind of demands the strength of the classical performers and the Broadway composers and performers. That's happening a little bit more often. I'm able to do a few of these things. One of Ricky's pieces that we did at Carnegie Hall recently was his Grapes of Wrath, kind of opera. But there's a big variety of music. And I had sung with doing the Firebrand of Florence, a Kurt Weill piece. I'd sung with Vicky Clark. Victoria Clark was, she's a Broadway star. And I maybe won a Tony for Light in the Piazza. I know that Kelly O'Hara did, but she sings a lot of funny roles, a lot of buffo things, and she sang Ma Joden this, and it's a big sing, a sustained, tough sing. And I'm like, wow, I don't know if she'll be able to do it. And she is a beautiful singer. And I was talking to her, Victoria Clark, I was talking to her afterwards, and she said, this is so wonderful being able to have a role where I can finally sing like I was trained to sing. Audra feels the same way, you know. So Kelly and I are putting together a program to do with the New York Phil in March. Kelly O'Hara, she's that way. Kristen Chenoweth, similar. They really enjoy, I think they enjoy singing with me because I'm sort of what you would picture as the typical or classic Broadway male protagonist, and you just don't find many people like that anymore. You don't have baritones who sound like Robert Goulet or anything there anymore. So they kind of like singing with me, and I like them because, boy, let me tell you, they after doing Camelot with them and Firebrand with them and the Sondheim special, and where they all fly in from everywhere, you know, you have your final dress rehearsal at 10 a.m. and you get your blocking on a piece of paper saying, go this way, look at the camera there, do that there. Audra and I have never sung this duet together, let alone, you know, separate. Okay, so we go out and we just, you know, you've got the conductor, Paul Geminiani, who's this fantastic guy. Saying, all right, how many measures do you need to walk in on? And we'll just play until you start to sing. Don't worry, I'll take care of it, kids, you know. And we go out and we do it, and, you know, you rehearse enough, and then you do the show that night. I mean, it's just put together. And partially, the difficulty is that they're all working 8 shows a week, every week. And they'll show up with a smile on their face and do these 10 or 12s where they work 10 out of every 12 hours before the show opens. And I think, you know, we in the opera world are pretty, it's pretty cush. You know, you get a couple of days off between performances and, you know, you don't.
And you only have a run that goes for a number of weeks as opposed to months.
You know, if you get 6 performances, you're pretty happy. You know, they're doing, you know, months. Yeah. And they don't even know if it's going to last. They could open and it could close, you know.
You put all that work into it and then you're done.
And they love what they do. And the ones who are really good at it, who are really good musically and have good voices and all of that. They're and great actors. They bleed for their art form. It's inspirational.
I did an interview with Frederica von Stade before her recital at the Krannert Center last season, and played a favorite recording of mine, which is her recording with Jerry Hadley of Showboat.
Uh-huh.
And she said that was one of her favorite experiences, was doing that one. And I said, so how come you haven't done Broadway? You know, sort of a similar question I asked you. And so part of her answer surprised me, and the other one I guess shouldn't have, because we just touched on it. The part that surprised me, she said, well, I wasn't invited.
No.
I'm thinking, wow. Really?
Yeah, that was a surprise.
But the other was, she said, because it is such a different world, you know. Especially not now. I mean, you know, she's, you know, you don't know if your show's going to go on for a year, two years.
Yeah, and
an opera you're done in a couple months, right. And you can move on or take a break or go home and visit your family or whatever.
Well, part of it is, you know, I've talked to a number of, I've been asked to do some of these things and that, Broadway shows, and it's hard to fit. Like, for example, in the world of opera, those of us who are lucky enough to have this situation, we usually book our opera performances out about 4 years in advance, and then everything else is set within that framework, or the orchestra concerts and the recitals and things like that. So you can't really then say, I have space to do this, because they're looking for you for the next season to stay in New York for 9 months. And unless I'm singing at the... Right. I was at this one time that could have possibly happened. I would have been singing at the Met for 3 months, and it would have been possible during the rehearsal period to go do these other shows that they wanted while I was rehearsing at the Met. And then when the nights conflicted, but it wasn't a long enough period of time for them. And I would have been, you know... complete waste by that'd have been a little bit of overkill, but
unless you just decide 4 years out, I'm taking a year's sabbatical for opera and I'm going to do a show.
Yeah, but then, you know, I got these five kids and my wife here in Champaign, you know, moving them all to New York would be.
And you're supposed to be teaching here at the university.
Exactly. She's like, okay, kids, come out here. I'll teach you in Manhattan. They probably wouldn't mind though.
Well, we should hear some more music. What have we got queued up next?
Johnny Hartman. It's the first song on his disc.
I gave you a blank when you said Johnny Hartman because
It's almost like being in love. Johnny Hartman is just one of the greatest, I think, one of the greatest jazz singers club singers that was ever out there. Just listen to this voice; it's just awesome.
And if you want to. Throw in quickly. If you want a pair of tickets to hear Ian Hobson, I'll give away another pair. The phone number, and that recital is Sunday night, 8:30. You need to be able to go to that at Allerton in Monticello.
Yeah. Oh, and for those of you who have your radio turned up, turn it down just a wee bit for the beginning of this song.
Oh, does it get a little loud?
Oh, the brass, it's great.
217-244-2628. 217-244-2628. Here's Johnny Hartman.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why it's almost like being in love.
Johnny Hartman, well, you know, I'm still not sure I've heard him before. I probably haven't. Don't even know it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he's great.
But we're both blanking here. What show is that from? And I'm going to say somebody call in and tell us because it's driving me nuts. Almost like being in love.
People Will Say We're in Love. Is that the one you're thinking of?
No, maybe? That's another song. People Will Say We're in Love. Is it? I'm not even sure which one that one's from now. I'm terrible at naming that tune from shows. Well, you sing away and keep thinking about it, and I'm going to say that our programs today are made possible by Eastern Rug Gallery, offering over 1,000 guaranteed hand-knotted Oriental and Persian rugs to complement any decor. Eastern Rug Gallery also offers a cleaning and repair service. Eastern Rug Gallery, 1402 South Neal Street in Champaign. I don't even think I was supposed to have read that one just yet. Well, I did.
So there it is.
There it is.
You know, it's kind of funny that I think some people are surprised that I don't really listen to opera at home. I think it's because, I mean, sometimes some art song, but I think it's because you have to really listen to it all the time. And because I just have music in my life so much, usually I go for quiet over sound.
I do the same thing. I got this fancy stereo system that most of the time sits idle.
Yeah.
Which in the summer is not a bad idea if you get a big fat tube amp like I've got. It just sort of heats up the living room.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, but this kind of music is, you know, it's it's relaxing and fun and high quality and completely different from what I exactly do. You know?
But you're doing some of it, and
I'm doing a bit of it. Yeah, putting my own twist on it. That's part of what's great about these kinds of songs is that you can they're the type that you can arrange in certain ways to fit the particular venue you're performing it in. You know, like for example, it's easy to take one of these Tom Waits songs and do it in a that you haven't heard, but then do it in a classical recital, because if you didn't know, if I were to translate it into German and tell you that it's a long-lost Schubert song, you'd probably believe me, okay? It's one of those, and it just happens to be in English. And but then you can also change the arrangement a little bit, and it fits into a cabaret night because of the story that it tells.
And the cabaret night is happening this Thursday. It's opening the Allerton Barn Music Festival, or Allerton Music Barn.
And if you want
Festival.
Tickets...
Too bad.
Too bad.
It's sold out.
That's right.
Are you gloating?
Yeah, you got to grease the palm of Paul Redman over at the music school.
Somebody, he might be able to I got to work on that. But in any event, it's Thursday night at 8:30. We'll be having on tomorrow. Who's coming on tomorrow's show? I can't remember if it's John Faddis is tomorrow or if John Faddis is on Thursday. I think John Faddis is on Thursday. Tomorrow, I think, is Rob Rumbelow, who is conducting next Monday's Wind Serenade of Mozart and Strauss, and also the new horn professor at the U of I who's playing on that program, Bernhard Scully. I think that's who's on Live and Local tomorrow. My guest today is, of course, Nathan Gunn, who is singing with Julie Gunn and colleagues on Thursday. And we've got some Ray Charles next.
Yeah, love Ray Charles. I don't even know how I found out about Ray Charles. It must have been... I don't know. It must have just been one of those things where I might have heard him on the radio when I was a kid, and I thought, wow, this guy's great. And, of course, he's really famous, too. That helps. But
I always heard that he put on just an incredible show.
I believe it. I mean, I feel like a broken record here, but he once again, one of these performers who really is, when you hear him, you know who it is. You know, he says what he has to say. He has his own, puts his own stamp on things, and it's... full-throated music making, you know, and that's primarily what I like about these guys. There are some, and this is maybe a music nerdy sort of thing to say, but one of the things, for example, about Ella Fitzgerald, that is another singer that I love, is her sense of rhythm is incredible. I mean, really so accurate and also complex. I wanted to bring in a recording of Eldar, who's this, I mean, he must be... He and I met each other doing the Just Before Sunrise disc. He did the piano part to the Secret Marriage song, the Sting song. He's a jazz pianist, and he's one of those guys who has an incredibly accurate sense of rhythm. And not only that, which makes him this particular quality makes him a really great jazzer, is that he thinks like a chess player. He's like three. Stanzas ahead all the time. He's already on the third verse and what he's going to do with it, so that in his head, so he's preparing for it as he's playing.
I mean, the pianist Eldar.
Eldar, yeah.
Who's on your disc.
He's on the disc, yeah. He's great. But Ella's the same way when it comes to rhythm, and as is Tony Bennett. You know, I was doing a special with Josh Bell that I think some of you may have seen on the television during the fund drive, and Chris Bode, who's a trumpet player, played on it. And I was talking to Chris afterwards, and I said, you know, Chris, and I know he kind of cringed when I said this, because I'm sure people say this all the time, and it can be insulting. But I said, you know, Chris, who you remind me of when you play, who you sound like? And he's thinking, what trumpet players are going to say? And I'm like, you sound like Tony Bennett. And he's, really? And I said, yeah, because you've got that very direct and intentional sense of rhythm that is unusual and creates your own sound. It creates a structure that makes him sound like him.
You know, I got to tell you about something I heard last night. We both play tennis.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we got to play once. We got to do it again. You schlomped
you
me. but I was watching the opening night ceremonies at the U.S. Open. And they apparently had a contest to sing the Star Spangled Banner. And the kid who apparently won it is 12, this black kid, 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And talk about rhythm and sense of pitch. You know, he sort of did it gospel style, and he was wailing, and he was bending the pitches all over the place. And I'm thinking, he's going to get way off here. And he would always come around to it. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was just brilliant.
Well, for those out there that know who Lawrence Brownlee is, Larry Brownlee, he and Juan Diego Flores are two of the hottest Rossini tenors out there singing right now. And Larry, that's where he learned his coloratura was in church. All that, you know, kind of gospel singing where they're making up that
doo-doo-doo-doo
thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Then they handed him some Rossini, and he's like, oh, I can do this. And he really can. I mean, he's amazing. But, you know, it's a special talent.
I forgot to mention the kid sang unaccompanied.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did you have a pitch pipe cool. to see if he ended up in the right key?
Just him out there, and I'm thinking the kid's going to get so nervous.
Well, it doesn't always work out that way. I got my friend Rick Croft and I were singing Cosi together, and he did this special sort of in una hora moros, how that one, and he kind of and it totally turned into Schoenberg on the way down, and he looked at me, he was just like eyes rolled, and then he went back
I'm
at
lost.
It
please help
I'm like, well, you're on your own, buddy.
It's been fun, and we're going to go out with Ray Charles, apparently.
All right, let the good times roll.
Yeah, and before we do, I do have two other little bits of things I have to say. Support for a show is made possible by Silver Creek in downtown Urbana, serving lunch and dinner every day with a brunch on Sunday. For 20 years, Silver Creek has served fresh and seasonally current dinners by the fireplace in warm wood ambiance. Silver Creek offers over 100 of the world's finest wines and draft beers. And we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYNL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we're actually very grateful we have all these underwriters to make sure we can stay in the air. Nathan Gunn's been my guest on Live and Local today. I'm Kevin Kelly. Come back tomorrow, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.